Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Prophecy in the Spotlight. We got an exciting show. You may want to get ready for this one. We're going to talk about a place called Armageddon. The Bible calls it Armageddon. I'm going to read you a verse in Revelation chapter 16. Back there in verse 12, we see the context here. And the sixth angel poured out his vial. So you got the seven seals. The seventh seal begins the seven trumpets. And the seventh trumpet begins the seven vials, which is the end of the tribulation. And of course, this is number six. So there's only one after this. This is near the end. And look what it says here. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared, possibly the Chinese, but whatever. And I saw three unclean spirits. This gets a little strange here. Remember, there's a lot of symbolism in the book of Revelation. You see that all the way back in chapter 1 of Revelation. He signified it. There's a lot of significant signs, figures, and types here. And it talks about the frogs coming out of the mouths of the dragon, the false prophet, and the Antichrist here. And verse 14, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God, to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Whew, that's some pretty strong language. So this is a battle that God's involved in here. Look at verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And then verse 16, Revelation 16, 16. And he gathered them together. This is the Lord speaking. He gathers them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And then it goes on here, and we maybe read some of that later, and Doc's going to talk about some of that later stuff, what this does to the earth in preparation for the kingdom age. But we want to deal with this thing called the Battle of Armageddon. Everyone's heard about it. Even lost people on the news talk about, this is Armageddon. They have no idea what Armageddon is. It's far worse than anything you can imagine. And God's going to bring the kings and the kingdoms of the world together at this place. And we got some pictures we're going to show you of this place. And we're going to discuss this in today's program. Stand by. Greetings, everybody. I hope after that introduction that you decide to stick around. I hope you're here. This is going to be interesting. There's not a lot of talk out there about the battle. We hear a lot of talk about the coming Battle of Armageddon, but not too many people give many details. We're going to show you where this is and where it's going to take place. I got some statistics here I'm going to give you. I got a quote by Alexander the Great that I'm going to share with you. And we're going to look at this place and what the significance of it. Pretty serious stuff that I just read here in Revelation 16. I mean, he gathered them together. That's God. Into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And what is this about frogs coming out of the mouths of these the false trinity, Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet? This is the final battle. The Euphrates being dried up to make way for some more kings to get there. Doc, it's interesting when you look at the atlas here, and I don't have a picture of that for the folks, but in my maps book here that I have, that you see this big body of blue here. Let's see if you can. Yeah, see all that blue right there? That's the Mediterranean Sea. The battle is going to take place maybe 20 miles from that sea, 20 miles inland, right up in here somewhere. trying to get rid of the glare, but maybe 20 miles from the Mediterranean Sea. That's not an accident. If God's going to bring the kingdoms of the world, Doc, they got to get there, right?
Yep.
And I think a lot of them are maybe going to take a ride on a ship.
Some of them probably take a ride on a ship.
There'll be probably airplanes. There'll be people walking. I mean, I don't. Of course, some are coming from the other direction. But this is interesting. And let me give some statistics here for the folks watching. 5 to 12 miles southwest of a place called Nazareth. You've heard of Nazareth, mm-hmm. where Jesus is going to live. That's where Megiddo is. Mm-hmm. 15, I'm just guessing here. I tried my best with the little chart that they had of an inch is so many miles. So I just guessed here. 15 miles south of Cana. We hear Cana mentioned mm-hmm. a lot with the Lord. 7 or 8 miles to Jezreel. But this is the Jezreel Valley.
It's the Jezreel Valley.
And, well, actually, I said 20 miles. 10 to 12 miles to the Mediterranean. That's pretty close. Mm-hmm. You can probably smell the sea air. if the wind's blowing right, due west, 20 miles approximately to Mount Carmel, where mm-hmm. we see Elijah do some things up there, northwest. Interesting. So let's let the folks see a picture or two here of this place we called Armageddon. She'll put that up for you. Just went online, found a couple of pictures. That's a mm-hmm. really good shot right there. You can, yeah. If you look close down next to the trees, you'll see a man standing, that's Doc. No, I'm kidding. It's not Doc. I don't know who it is.
I've
There's a man
there.
Standing there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what angle this is from where I was, but I looked down mm-hmm. on this valley. I don't know if I was here or if we were on the other side. I don't know. It could have been here. When I was in Israel in 2017, I know you've been there several times, mm-hmm. and they showed us and said that this was Megiddo.
Yeah. Well, that's more of a side view from it, but yes. That is the valley down through there, and a lot of people get this mixed up with Ezekiel 38,
yeah.
But this is a valley, and Ezekiel 38 is on the mountains of the north.
Right, and it's the Golan Heights.
What we call the Golan Heights today, yeah. And
that's a good 50 miles away.
Yeah, or more away, and this battle is God bringing all the nations together. Now, whether it's going to require all the nations, or when you compare this passage with Joel chapter 3 and verse 2, he says he's bringing all the people, all the nations together that's parted his land. I don't know if every nation in the world has been a part of causing Israel to part their land.
And he certainly doesn't mean every human being, because they wouldn't
right,
fit in here.
Right. And not necessarily every nation has. I mean, America has certainly been guilty of causing Israel to part some of God's land, and all of these things play into it. But it's there called the Jezreel Valley.
And I think there's another picture she's going to stick mm-hmm. up there, and just another view of it.
But it's a. It is a valley, and it's a very long, sprawling valley. And as you've already alluded to, Alexander the Great stood, maybe not here, but probably on another end, looking more west. He probably looked and said, "This would be the greatest battlefield in the world."
That's the quote, and he's quoted as saying that.
It is. It would be. I mean, yeah. It's a big, wide open plains. Yeah. Today, it's farmed. And
now, to him in that day, I mean, that's before cars and all that.
Oh, yes.
But that's the statement that they record. He said mm-hmm. the greatest battlefield he'd ever seen mm-hmm. in the world right there. Yeah. Coming from a man that battle to him was running and walking
the world,
and horseback.
Yeah.
And not like that anymore. But
no.
Interesting. So I had a couple of questions here that I had in my mind, Doc, that I thought mm-hmm. I'd throw. And you haven't heard these. This is just off the cuff for you. Why this place? Why did God choose this place to be the final battle of the world?
Well, because this place is where God's bringing all the nations that have come against Israel. Israel is God's apple. Jerusalem's the apple of God's eyes. And Israel was the nation that God, through the loins of Abraham, was going to fulfill the promise of a body for Christ, for redemption's work. All of that is surrounded in this picture. So these nations are coming because they want to end. They are now at this point, under the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, they are under the complete delusion and power of Lucifer himself. And so therefore, he's wanting to do one thing at this point. He's wanting to prevent God from having the ability to keep his promise to Israel for a millennial reign. That's his goal. He's bringing all of these kingdoms against Israel to annihilate Israel, because the devil does not want God to be able to keep his promise. And God's promise is for a millennial reign, and Israel and Jerusalem will be the capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why they're coming there, and he's going to destroy those armies. And at the same time, we have the seventh vial of wrath pouring out, and God is reestablishing the earth physically for that millennial reign.
So let me read some of that. Get back where I was here. Here we go. The seventh angel, verse 17, poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven. That's interesting. Came from heaven.
Right.
From the throne, saying, "It is done." Notice what he said, though.
It is done.
Out of the temple of heaven.
And here's the thing. People say, well, what's done? Well, redemption was done on Calvary's cross, and that's what Jesus said. It is finished.
Mm-hmm.
But this is done, and what you need to understand, what is done is the final fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy that God gave to him in Daniel 9:27. It's finished.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's done here.
And verse 18, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth.
Yes.
So mighty an earthquake and so great, and the great city was divided. That great city, I'm guessing, is Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities and the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And here's some things that you talk about. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and the men blasphemed God because of the plague.
Yeah.
God prepares the earth for the kingdom age, doesn't he?
He's bringing them together, and there's a whole lot of Old Testament prophecy here. Because we, as we said a moment ago, Joel chapter 3 is giving us understanding of why. But there's a time when Jesus is going to come. He's going to put his foot on the Mount of Olives. And the Bible says that the Mount of Olives is going to be split in half.
Yeah.
And
that would fit right here, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and then I forget exactly what chapter in Jeremiah, whether it's 42 or 24. I think it's chapter 42 or somewhere along in there. He talks about a river that comes out from underneath the throne, and it goes a furlong, and it's ankle deep, and then it another furlong, it's knee deep, and then it's not long till it's waist deep, and then it's river to swim in. And then when you put that together with other scripture, you find that during the millennial reign, what we call, the Bible calls the Salt Sea, we call it the Dead Sea, but the Bible calls it the Salt Sea, will become the greatest fishery of the world. And so here's what people don't understand, and I've been blessed to be able to be there, and I've stood over the Gihon Springs, and it's a deafening sound. You can't carry on a conversation. It is so deafening, the sound of the water rushing underneath you there.
Is that the one in the City of David?
Yes.
Where we think that the real temple was?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Gihon Springs today runs west toward the Mediterranean. But when this battle takes place and when the seventh vial of wrath is poured out, this earthquake may be in association with when Jesus puts his feet on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to split. The only thing that stands between Jerusalem and the Salt Sea is that one mountain. On the other side is a valley. And so I'm convinced that when Jesus comes in the Battle of Armageddon, he's going to also put his feet on the mountain, an earthquake that is not only going to separate that mountain, shifting the Gihon Springs. The waters are going to start running out from the Gihon Springs, which will be underneath the Millennial Temple, no matter what they are going to build in the interim time. And those waters are going to make their way to the Salt Sea. It's going to become the greatest fishery of the world. All of that is taking place, I believe, at the same time. The entire world is going to have a new topographical makeover. No more mountains, no more islands, no more real valleys. It's all going. I'm convinced that God at this time is going to basically restore planet Earth in a Pangea as it would have been in original creation. The hailstones falling from the sky here, depending on what measurement you want to use for a talent, it goes from anywhere in research from 80, 85 pounds to up to 110 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've seen hailstones as big as baseballs. I've never seen any bigger, but I know they have been. But we're talking about a hailstone that's almost as big as this platform here, at least half as big as this desk. And hailstones are created as a result of extreme energy. They're always in association with a major electrical storm. You see all the lightning and unbelievable. So what's happening is with all of that extra electrons that's taking place and all of that lightning, all that energy is bonding together the impurities in the raindrops. Those impurities are specks of dust inside all of these raindrops. What it's doing with that energy, it's making a compound out of them, and most of them will dissolve again before they finally reach the earth, because you've probably been sometime whenever the raindrops was ice cold, but they weren't ice cubed, but they were cold. But before they got into this lower altitude, they were ice. God's going to, I believe, reestablish a firmament as in day number two's creation. He's going to put, I believe he's bringing the world back to its original shape. Some of the waters are going to be sent up, and that's going to become great hailstones. The impurities, they would fall down. I'm convinced that God is going to reestablish a canopy system for the millennial reign. I don't think God is going to think the Creator is not going to come down and rule over a sin curse, wrecked, ruined, because the world is going to be ruined at this time. He's not coming down to that. He's coming down to a restored like he created in the beginning.
Well, I want to ask you about this temple, but before we do that, let me just remind our viewers that we are viewer-supported here. We'd love to have you as a partner. We wouldn't want you to give your food money or your rent money or your house payment. But if God has touched your heart and you like what you see and hear on our program, and a lot of people do, and if you got a little extra, if you'd like to help us, it costs a lot of money to be on the air, a lot of money, and we are viewer supported. Doc and I get no salary, and the money that comes in by check or credit card, or however people do it, goes to provide the payment to the TV networks that air our programs. And if you can help us, go to the website, prophecyinthespotlight.com. There's donate buttons there, or call the 800 number. It comes up every few minutes here right behind me. You can call the 888-505-SPOT number, and you can talk to the ladies there, and they'll help you with that. You can send a check, you can call, you can go on the website and donate on your own, whatever you'd like to do. We would love to have you on board as a partner of our ministry here. And I don't know about you, but Doc and I believe that what we're doing here is very important, very important. And I don't think doctors, anybody like our ministry out there.
Nobody like you, so that's true.
So we'd love to have the folks on board. Many of you already. Some of you send something every month. Some of you just every once in a while, and that's fine. Whatever you can do. And if you'd like to talk to either me or Doc, we'd be happy to just call the 800 number. Tell the ladies, hey, I'd like to talk to Brother Goodwin or Dr. Hiltabiddle. Doc thinks he's the smarter one, so you may want to. But anyway, we'd love to talk to you and tell you what's going on here and and answer any questions that you have. So Doc, real quickly here, he mentions a temple. Mm-hmm. And this jumped out at me. And verse 17, the seventh angel pours out the vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven.
Yes.
So we know about the temple, Solomon's temple and mm-hmm. Herod's temple. We know all about this. And the third temple is going to be the king of the tribulation temple. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of them is going to... None of those are this temple.
No.
What do you make of this?
Well, I think, remember, this is John being given this information from heaven. So he hears this voice out of the temple of heaven telling about what's getting ready to happen here.
Yeah.
And the directions that it's going. I don't think it is... I know there's going to be... There must be a temple in heaven.
That's what I was getting at. There's got to be.
There has to be a temple.
Remember when Moses
in
was to build the tabernacle, and God,
yes,
God said, "Build it like the one I showed you,
yeah,
in the mount."
Mm-hmm.
In other words, He let him see something.
That's obvious because in the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us that Abraham, in essence, paraphrasing it, was content to live in a tent because he had seen a city in the future whose builder and maker was God, so he could be happy to wait for that,
yeah,
rather than taking one down here.
Yeah.
And so there has to be. And we know that Moses built the tabernacle after the pattern.
Yeah.
And so, and in reality, when you like in the book of Hebrews, and you find about all these things in the book of Hebrews that we're thinking temple. But the whole book of Hebrews never talks about the temple. It's all about the tabernacle. And not the temple, but the tabernacle. In the comparison of all the things, when you get to Jesus, he's better than the priest. He's better than the sacrifice. He's better than all of this. And so I believe that this is a reference to the fact that John's hearing this because however he is he is there looking and seeing, and he hears this voice out of the temple in him.
So he gathered them together in verse 16
mm-hmm.
into a place called Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
How do they get there?
Well, of course, we know everybody talks about, you're hearing a lot about it today, the drying up of the Euphrates River. You're hearing a lot of people talk about it. And,
yeah,
and listen, folks, take about that much of what you're hearing about all of this extraterrestrial stuff and all that they're finding there, take about that much and the rest of it is a grain of salt. They're finding all of these hidden things and all of this demonic thing, all of these things, and take about that much and throw the rest of it out. Because everybody wants something that's esoteric, something that is sensational. And let me give you something to think about. You said it a while ago. The very first verse of chapter number 1 said he sent and signified. In other words, so everything from verse number 1 all the way through the book of Revelation is symbolism. Using something literal and using it like a parable, mm-hmm. often figuratively. So let me ask you a question. What army in our world today is going to be hindered by a river? None.
Yeah.
None. What we see is the symbolism. The Euphrates River has always been seen out through all of history. It has always been seen as the dividing line between Europe and Asia. Mm. It's simply telling us there's a time coming when there will be no line of separation between the two. And we already see that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm convinced of it.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, man, the devil is a master at playing on humanity's sensationalism. And if he can get you sidetracked with all of these things out here, you've missed the whole point of what it's about.
And look at today, via television, internet, cell phones. There are no boundaries anymore.
There are no boundaries.
You can be in a club or some kind of group online with people all over the world. You can be in the same room,
even if you were marching. If you were even marching your army across through there and you came to Euphrates, in our world today, the pontoon guys would come and drop out their pontoons and everybody just march on over.
Yeah.
It is symbolic of the line of separation between the East and the West. It's not there.
Yeah.
And they just come.
That's interesting stuff. That's interesting stuff right there.
It's all associated with that seventh vial of wrath, as I'm convinced God is going to use this to set up the entire world. The world will be ready after this for the King of Kings to set up what we would call the ambassadorship, because from this point on, every year, every nation of the world is going to have to make their way to Jerusalem or the rain will be shut off.
Well, let me read the second coming, because this is the same
event. It is.
This is Christ coming on the white horse. He ends that battle.
That's right.
Verse 11, Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven opened. This is during Armageddon. Just a different chapter giving another view of this. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head was wore many crowns, and he had a name written that no man could see. And we don't have time to read it all, Doc, but this is Christ coming with
us. It's the second coming. That's why I associated the earthquake with him putting his feet on the Mount of Olives and splitting it in half and all of that prophecy fulfilled.
Yeah. Well, we got 20 seconds, Doc. What would you say to the audience?
Well, I'm not going to be here for that battle. I'm going to be in heaven for 7 years by this time, and I don't know how long 7 years is in heaven. But anyway, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to call on the Lord and receive God's wonderful redemption, change your destiny from hell to heaven so you won't be here for this battle.
All right. And until this battle, keep your eyes on them skies. Hey, thanks for watching our regularly scheduled program. We are a viewer-supported program, and if you'd like to partner with us to help keep us on the air, we would appreciate it.
Well, you can call either our 800 number. It's on the screen there, and donate if you'd like, because we sure could use the help. We're a donor-supported ministry.
Yeah. And the website's right there on the screen. The phone number's scrolling on the bottom there. And $5, $25, $10,000, whatever.
Well, we've been on, going around 4 years, I guess.
Almost five, Doc. June will be 5 years.
And we've made it this far on the donations of God's people.
We're on nationwide on different networks. And if you don't know how to find us, contact us. We can get you a brochure. We're on a lot of networks nationwide, CTN, VTN, all kinds of different ones. Of course, we're here on BBS Radio as well. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We hope you're enjoying the content that we bring.
Right.
If you haven't noticed, we are prophecy people.
Yes, and we're old-fashioned Bible prophecy. We're not chasing illegal aliens. We're not chasing aliens and fallen angels and spaceships. We're just trying to follow the guidelines of the Word of God.
That's right. Old-fashioned Bible prophecy. And, well, some of you have been watching us for quite a while already. And you know what we are. And we try to put it right on the bottom shelf for you.
Yes.
Okay? So, listen. Partner with us. Pray for us. Yes. Pray for the ministry here. And get involved if you can. We'd love to hear from some of you. Contact us. Send us an email. Send us a text message. Call. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, stay tuned for one of the shows from our archives coming right up. Hey, everybody. Brother Goodwin here. Prophecy in the Spotlight. We've got a great show for you today. And Doc is in the studio. I don't know if you remember, but a few weeks back, we were talking here on the set, and Doc was telling us about preaching at his church, his home church, about some end time signs, a whole bunch of them that he had. And we got a bunch of emails and text messages. People say, hey, we'd like to hear that. So we've put a show together. We got 3 or 4 pages here of topics that point to the end time, and it's unbelievable. And I thought we'd share them with you today. So fasten your seatbelt and stand by. Hey, welcome to the show. I think you're going to enjoy what we got for you today. Most of this is from Doc. He printed off 3 or 4 pages for us, Doc. End time evidences, you call it.
Right.
And by the way, if anybody would like a copy of this, we're kind of putting Doc on the spot here, but he's agreed to send you in an envelope. It'd be nothing fancy. Just he'll print these off.
Yeah. They were the notes that I used.
This
when
is
the sermon.
Right. Now, yeah. It doesn't give any details about them, but it mentions like a line, a topic. These things pointing to the fact
that are evidence.
Yeah. So if anyone would like them, just go to the web. You can contact Doc. He'd be he would ask you to pay the postage and handling, but other than that, it won't be much, probably $5 or something. He'll send this whole thing to you if you'd like to have it. And all right. Well, Doc, you got a verse for us to start us out about the end time signs.
Of course, everybody's familiar with when you hear Matthew 24 in the prophecy world, everybody says, okay, we know where we're at.
Yeah.
So verse number 4, chapter 24 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Man, that's an important thing. He said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows.
And the beginning of sorrows meaning, I think it's interesting, we talked about this on the update that we did, the fact that he says the end is not yet, but then he goes on and says, because this is getting ready to happen, nation rising against nation, kingdom against famines, pestilences, earthquakes.
Right.
And then he says that these are the beginning of sorrows.
The beginning. Sorrows is birth pains, like a lady's getting ready to give birth to a child. These, he said, are signs that the tribulation is about to come.
Yeah. In other words, the doctor will ask, well, how many minutes apart are your pains?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
and he knows whether he needs to hurry or
yes.
not. mm-hmm. And, of course, it ain't like that anymore. We go to the hospital. But back
but
in the old days.
That's basically what Christ is saying.
And we're in some severe birth pains, aren't we, John?
Oh, man, we're in the throes of it every day.
Well, I want to do in the show, Doug, is I want us to stay away from the ones that we hit all the time, the obvious ones that we talk about.
Yes.
Men running to and fro from Daniel. Yes. You know, the signs of the times that we love to talk about.
Well, I've got a list of what, maybe 50 here or so.
Yeah,
maybe 60.
And a lot of these are not normal ones that you think about. And so I want to start with this one, and of course we'll let you talk about whatever you want, but I do want you to talk about the satellite buildup, because that's not something you would think of.
No.
But yet it is important in the end times.
Oh, people don't realize, but the satellite buildup is going to enable the Antichrist and his kingdom to literally govern everybody on planet Earth. They'll know where you're at. They'll know what you've done. They'll know all your financial transactions. Mm-hmm. Satellites are important. Secondly, the satellite systems that are being built up there are many of them for warfare. They have laser beams and all these other things. Years ago, I wondered, how's the false prophet and the Antichrist, how are they going to call down fire from heaven? Nobody would ever question it today. It could easily be done.
Yeah.
And it's not just a missile, but with laser and the ability, it's unbelievable.
And we're hearing about lasers now.
Yes.
I think I heard that Israel now has some pretty powerful laser.
They have a defense equipment system based on laser. Works perfect.
Yeah.
We'll not go into great depth. I'm not a great conspiracy guy, but something very unique has happened.
Maui.
Something very unique has happened there.
Yeah.
Not only there, but somebody sent me a picture on Facebook of a beam of light that had come down and done a destructive manner in somewhere. I'm telling you, the satellite buildup and space programs is going to play into the end times.
They talk about, don't get into, conspiracy theory. They cause these. They put up a black wall. They won't let people in. They won't let them fly a drone to take video. Nope. Why is that?
Yeah.
It's because they're hiding something.
They're hiding. Somebody said, well, they're hiding their discovery of the... Did you realize there's over 2,000 children missing?
Yeah. And that's what I was going to bring up next. The schools are half empty, and nobody's quite... where's the kids?
Yep.
I mean, they all died or what?
Something
strange.
I'm telling you, we need to move on because I could get pretty hot here.
Yeah.
This is something. I have 27 grandchildren. It's a hot button with me.
All right. On the list here, and this is one that I have written about, and she'll put a copy of my 7 Clocks book. In my 7 Clocks, a Ticking book, I have a chapter that deals with, I believe it's in that book, about warfare.
Mm-hmm. And the atomic.
Yeah. I believe it's in that book. But anyway, this is important. And in 1945, everything changed with the advancement of the nuclear, what I call the, we entered the nuclear age. And
since then, Dan, the developments is so far beyond, it's unreal.
They said that the hydrogen bomb that came out like in 1950, 51, was 1,000 times more powerful than the bombs dropped on Japan.
In Hiroshima. And I could give you some science, but it's
and that's been 70 some years. What do we got now?
In the joules of energy that is stored in the human body is over 1,000 times greater than the bomb at Hiroshima. In other words, we wonder who holds it all together. I know who holds it all together.
Yeah. So nuclear warfare And part of me says, "Oh, wait a minute. Maybe we've left nuclear warfare. Maybe there's something else that we don't even know about."
I'm convinced we,
because nuclear warfare is messy.
Yeah,
they need something, and I think they have some things that they can take out a city
it. They can take out the inhabitants. They can take out biological without destroying the infrastructure.
And in warfare, if you want to, now if you're just defending yourself, you don't care. You just blow stuff up. But if you want to take over that kingdom, you let out nuclear bombs, nobody's going to live there for 100 years,
right? A long time. You're right. Exactly right.
So we know Israel's not going to get nuked because it would end a lot of prophecy. So,
but the millennial reign will be a remake over anyway, but yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it would affect what happens during the tribulation.
Absolutely.
Because we know they're going to have the temple; the people are going to be there. That wouldn't be possible if nuclear devices were blown up there, at least as we know right now. Well, Doc, just pick something there. What do you want to tell us about some of these?
I've got such a big long list, folks.
Well, you wrote it, Doc.
Well, one of the things that we're watching that I think is a sign of the time is the blurring of transgenderism. All of this is leading the thinking of people back to the days of Nimrod and the worship of the original false god.
Babylon.
Yes, exactly. And the mutilation of children through all of this, It's sad to see what's happening.
It's criminal.
It's criminal.
Absolutely criminal. I can't believe that any doctor in America or any country
anywhere
would do such a procedure.
Yeah. Somebody asked, I saw on the video the other day, somebody asked a guy in Africa, he said, in America, there are many different genders of humanity. How many do you have? And he said, well, there's a man and a woman.
Yeah.
Only educated fools.
Yep.
Is where we're at.
So it's a religion.
These are signs.
Yep, it's a religion, it's a system, and
yes, it is.
And it's a shake your fist at God.
It is exactly.
Saying I don't want to be in his image. I don't want to be a Bible believer. I don't want to have anything to do with what the Bible says.
And well, that's what this plant-based food's all about, because God said it's good to eat the meat that he's provided. And so anything that God said is good, it's what the... And you don't even know... I haven't eaten any of these chicken nuggets lately, but they say they're plant-based foods now at McDonald's. Many places are preparing it. It won't be long because they're going to do everything they can for you as a farmer to no longer have actual cattle or any meat on your property. Because they're trying to say... Another one of them on here is climate change movement. I call it green goddess worship, and it has taken over the entire world. It's unbelievable. It's zero science from any direction. It's zero science from just understanding basic science with biological life, and then it's zero science in the research that's going on.
Well, let me tell you who does not believe in it. Barack Obama does not believe in it. The property that he bought in Massachusetts there on the ocean, millions of dollars, and he's the one telling us that that's going to be underwater in a few years, yet he bought that
property. Yet he bought that property.
And not just him. There's people all over the world.
Well, not only that, but let's go back to that Maui thing. You know who really wants to own the rest of all that? They already own big, you know, Bezos and the lady on television that's got so much money and all of these people.
Oprah.
Yeah. So if this is real, why do they want to buy oceanfront property?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, folks, it's strictly governmental control. And but once you get people's mindset, synthetic meat is, as I said, the politicization of medicine.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't trust your doctor.
Yeah.
Because he's a part of the system. If he doesn't go along with the line, he can't get his insurance. If he doesn't have his insurance, he can't practice. It's all political.
They're all employees of the hospital system now.
Yes.
And who's in charge of the hospital? I'm not.
Well, the World Health Organization. That's another one. Yeah. The World Health Organization now has usurped the.
Well, we've given
the
it to
sovereignty.
Them.
They now have. Yeah. Overruling the sovereignty of any nation.
Yeah, they can decide lockdowns and stuff.
Yeah, it's a mess. The civil unrest that you're seeing, but when you're led by lawless people, you're going to have a lawless society, and nobody has any trust in their government anymore, whether it's in America or anywhere around the world. This is a problem. And fearful sights.
Now,
the media can make anything look like real. You're living with fearful sights every day if you watch too much of the media.
Yeah, yeah.
You were getting ready to say?
Well, let's just pause for a second and thank the folks out there that support us every week and every month. We are viewer supported. We have no sponsors. We are 100% viewer supported, and we want to thank you all very much for sending the checks or picking up the phone and calling the 800 number and giving over the phone. We would not be here if it were not for the gifts of you, the viewer. And now we're coming up on, I think, probably when this airs, Doc, probably 2 weeks before the bill is due. And as of right now, we're not there yet. We're still lacking. We don't have enough to pay. We pay every 3 months. We're on CTN nationwide every Friday night at 7 Eastern time. But we're also on VTN, which is a cable network in Arkansas, the whole state of Arkansas. most of it anyway, I think, and a little bit of Missouri there on the borders. So we pay every 3 months for CTN, and we pay monthly for VTN. And right now we are not quite there. We're still behind a few thousand dollars. If you can help, we'd love to hear from you. Call the 800 number. Somebody will answer that phone. One of my daughter or my wife or somebody will answer that phone, and we'll take your credit card over the phone and do that. Or if you need the address to send a check, we get a lot of checks that show up. A lot of people do it that way. You can also sign up to be a monthly giver. You can actually support. You can actually do a automatic monthly payment, and we can help you with that if you need it. And we appreciate you all very much. And God always does it, Doc. Every we get to the end of the billing cycle, and suddenly the money shows up.
We're very thankful for.
So anyway, we're very thankful for that. So Doc, let's continue on here with some evidences that we are in the end times. And there's
such a list of them.
There's more than you realize. I mean, you start looking at these, this is end time stuff.
It's amazing what's going on. Let's ship over just a little bit. In a bracket over here, I've got some things that are a little in a different category, okay, so to speak. And one of the things that's setting the stage for the end time is the Islamic sympathizing. Everybody's being told that Islam is a religion of peace.
Mm-hmm.
It has never been a religion of peace. And it's going to play a role, because I believe they are the representatives of the kings of the South in the tribulation days. Mm-hmm. I think that's the Islamic Caliphate. And we're seeing those things. You're watching the rising, I believe, of the four kings for the tribulation days. The king of the West, I'm convinced, is the Antichrist. I think that's coming out of the Roman Empire. We call it the old Roman Empire, but Europe is basically the Roman Empire.
Yeah. And we're part of that.
We're part of that. If we're still having any role in it by that time, right where we're going, we're about to destroy ourselves. But then you're seeing the solidification of the King of the North, Russia, right now. I watched last night three men that are in the know on YouTube, and they were saying, all three of them independently, Russia right now can defeat anybody in Europe. Yeah. NATO cannot. If anybody doesn't understand that we've given to the Ukraine so much of our stuff, I doubt seriously if we could defeat Russia. These three men who've been at this for years in their life all agreed that right now, if Russia wanted to, they could defeat anybody in the NATO nations. And so the King of the North is solidifying. The King of the East, it's pretty obvious, China is solidifying.
Yeah.
You're watching the financial thing with the BRICS becoming stronger. It's getting ready to take over. I don't know if it's going to become the final one. It may just be a phase that's leading us to that final financial control. But the American dollar is about out on its, in its control. And you're watching now, you're hearing a lot more talk about replacing Lebanon or Jordan with Saudi Arabia in control over the Temple Mount, because Saudi Arabia wants to let Israel build their temple.
Wow.
I mean, you're watching these things happen. And so when you get to the Ezekiel 38 war, Saudi Arabia, Dedan and Sheba, they're not involved against Israel. They're standing, but they're not going to help them. And so you're watching the Palestinian movement. You're watching them. America is no longer the leader in all of this. China is stepping in as a negotiator. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so, no doubt, you go down through it, the steps for the Gog and Magog war, all of it is being solidified for the tribulation right now.
And you have here grappling over the Temple Mount. Now, this is interesting what you just said about Saudi Arabia and wanting to take over that Temple Mount.
All of it is in relationship with this Abrahamic Accords that they started, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, Trump did that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And as a result, Saudi Arabia and many others, I don't remember how many signed on to it now, but a lot of Islamic countries that never would, and of course it's a... to them, it's an economic thing, but the hold up to it right now is America is trying once again to cause Israel to give up land for peace with Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Well, Israel can't give up any more land, but it is in the works, and there are people that want this to happen.
Yeah,
it's amazing, and the rising of the kings, the Islamic. Or the Iranian pursuit of the atomic bomb. I think that's maybe, I have a book, she might put it up there, On the Edge of Dawn, and I have 7 prophetic passages brought into the current setting in that book. And I'm telling you, I'm convinced that the 49th chapter of Jeremiah talks about this thing with Iran.
So explain that title, The Edge of Dawn. She has that up on the screen.
Yeah,
explain what's the cover all about there?
I believe we're at the edge of the dawning of the day of the Lord. And so I called it The Edge of Dawn because one of these days it's going to be the day of the Lord. But these are all evidences or signs, prophetic signs that God's given us that lead us to the day of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it the edge of the day of the Lord.
So did you say there were like 7 things in that book?
7 prophetic passages. I can't remember all of them. I know one of them is Ezekiel 38.
Okay.
And one
so
of
that kind of goes hand in hand with our discussion today.
And one of them is Romans chapter 1, the road of Romans chapter number 1, the disintegration, not just only of the world, but there I believe he's talking about the disintegration of what we would call the church age.
Yeah.
And
of course, the great apostasy is here.
The great apostasy. That's another one of the things that's on the list. The great apostasy, it's everywhere.
I was talking to a preacher the other day. It might have been Brother Jordan. I can't remember. And he agreed. He said, people that I know, churches, pastors, evangelists, they're just going into crazy stuff now.
They are. And when you look at mainline churches, man, they are falling in with this pride movement, this I call it the alphabet soup, because every day they try to add another something to it. And I make a thing over here. I said less than 1% of the population is dictating how the 99% are supposed to think and talk.
Yeah, it's amazing. And music. I was talking I was talking to somebody on the phone about, and that came up. And I said, music. I said, the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Your ancestors came out of Germany.
Yes.
And that's where we believe that story came from. I was studying it one day, and there's a lot of uncertainties as to where it started, how old it is. But we all remember that story. There's been movies made of the Pied Piper. And, of course, the story goes that they had rats. And so they brought – this guy said, look, if you'll pay me, I'll get them rats. I can get them rats out of here. So they said, sure, you do it. So he plays his flute, and all the rats follow him out of town. Mm-hmm. But then they didn't pay him.
So and he took all their kids.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what's happening.
Music is powerful. And he comes back. And what a prophetic story.
It's taking away our children.
I'd like to know some history. I wonder what that guy understood that wrote that. I wonder if he understood what he was.
If he had
some insight there.
I hadn't thought about that, but I'm going to do a little research on that.
He stole their children because they wouldn't pay him. So he came in and he used music to draw.
And that's what's happening in the church age.
Yeah.
Because the same music that's being sung in a charismatic Catholic church is sung in a charismatic church. It's sung in a modern Methodist church. It's sung in Baptist churches. You just go down the line. Same songs, written many of them by immoral, impure individuals. And most of it, folks, listen to me, most of it uses terminology of things in nature to represent the character traits of God.
Yeah.
They sing about a rock, they sing about the wind, they sing about the cloud, it's about a river, it's about the water. Instead of using Bible terms of the character traits of God, they are literally worshiping creation rather than the creator, and don't even know it.
I wrote a sermon years ago when I was still in Bible college and preached it on my church bus. And never had anything satanic fighting against me like I did when I worked on that message. And I actually gave little lines out of some of the songs back in that day. Yep. All wicked, vile stuff.
Yes.
And this would have been the 80s.
Yep.
And but, I mean, it didn't start there.
Well, I don't know. Every once in a while, I pull up to the stoplight and feel my car.
Oh, the bass,
truck just
the beat.
Shaking like this. And people can't live with that. And this rap music, the greater majority of rap music, they call it Christian rap.
No such thing. The sermon that I wrote, powerful stuff. I said every song, good song and bad song, has three things. It has, number one, has an author. Somebody wrote it.
Yes.
And you mentioned that. Some of them are not good people that write these Christian songs.
Yep.
Number two, every song has a message. Mm-hmm. It may be something silly. It may be something funny.
Yes.
But there's a message.
It's a message.
And it's a message for good or for bad. Mm-hmm. And then number three, every song has a power.
Hmm.
I love music.
Yep.
I'll tell the viewers a little secret here. When I'm writing, and that's often, I'm at my computer and I'm writing, mm-hmm. I have certain things that I play in the background, music, mm-hmm. that inspires me and moves me. And because music's powerful.
Well, music is very powerful.
But it can be powerful in other ways, too. Yeah. Hitler used music for his marching for affecting people.
I was on hold the other day with a VA, which is not uncommon if you're going to call them. It's a long hold. And it wasn't long until about the third time around, I was listening to all those marches. You know, they play all these military marches. Man, I caught myself almost wanting to march again. That music moved me.
That Navy one come on, and you said, man,
no,
Dan's right.
It was that Air Force one. But anyway, it's powerful. But this is a thing. One of the other evidences is what's happening to the church.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
Music's destroying us. We don't know where the Bible is anymore.
Nobody wants to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
Yeah.
And that's what God purchased us for.
Yeah. Sad.
Because nobody wants to be a Romans 12, 1 or 2. When somebody asks me to sign their Bible, I always sign, not on my name, but I always put Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. He said, don't be conformed to this world.
Be
and transformed. This is what's happened to our churches.
Yeah.
They're trying to please the world rather than please God.
Well, Doc, we're in the final half a minute here.
And we got 40 more.
She put up a book that you can get on Doc's website. I think she put up one of my books that deal with some of these things here. Thanks for listening in today and watching our program. Remember to call that 800 number or email us or drop a check in the mail if you can to keep us on the air. We appreciate it very much. And I hope you know Jesus. Hope you're ready to meet him because he's coming soon. We just gave you just a few off the list of these evidence. But until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.